Mats.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone. Yes, it starts to be a nice habit for me being here. And thanks for this new invitation. Let me find out the presentation. That should be Clarivate. So thanks for being here. Thanks for this unbelievable venue here. I have a sort of, you know, wow effect in front of me. And also thanks for, you know, for the amazing view that I had this morning when I woke up in my hotel room. And I agree with the Vice President yesterday that technology is not everything. Sometimes also poetry is important, but let's keep apart poetry and let's start to talk about open access, what we have done so far in terms of Clarivate analytics. So we started in 2014 and we started integrating and making available the filter for gold open access journals. But the big giant step that we did was exactly 1 year and a half ago when we decided to fund Impact Story to grant them some funds to integrate the unpayable application in Web of Science and Insights in all our solutions. And indeed, we have just released the last version of this integration. We have fully completed the deployment of this integration. So nowadays, since last month, on the Web of Science Core Collection, you can map the different type of open access that are available. But the next giant step will be next year when we will also integrate everything into the our analytical and research performance solutions, so Insights. And given that this is a sports talk and we are talking about analytics, let me also mention two good news that we had yesterday from Great Britain. One was for Brexit, and the other one was that we have won the tender for REF 2021 for being the sole provider of citation data for the most important national evaluation exercise. So thanks to the British guys and colleagues right here for both news. And let's come back to what I will show today. I will try to give you, as usual, as every year, an overview on how open access looks like in our solutions, looking at these few different pillars. So trends in open access, diffusion, and data integration, integration with funding, and last but not the least, the impact of the open access papers. Trend. This is quite well known. One photo paper in the last 5 years are open. But indeed, this statement should be carefully analyzed, because if you look deeply, and I also showed these slides a few months ago in Slovenia as well, with TV and the others, in the last very few years, there is not this substantial growth of presence of adoption of open access in our systems. This is also considering, for instance, the ESCII. You know that we have implemented a new index, it's called the Emerging Source Citation Index, newer emerging journals, so a lot, 7,500 journals that we have started to introduce since 2015, and these journals are very much close to open access. 35% are gold open access, and the percentage of open access papers in these journals is very high. So you can imagine that in the last year, there is also this effect that is bumping. So if you do not consider them, if you look to historical journals, indeed, the situation is quite different. Apart the absolute number, you see around 10% of adoption. These are the first 100 journals by Impact Factory in the last year, in 2017. And this is exactly more or less the same type of band or curve for the first 250 journals. So open access is not booming. And also in terms, obviously, of categories and adoption, there is a situation that is very, very different with respect to the research area. So there are some research areas in which open access and adoption is around one third, even close to one to one half of the papers, and there are some others you see right here. By the way, it's also very close to, you know, research products like conference and so on, telecommunication or computer science or engineering, that are very lagging behind. But what is most interesting, what is most interesting, it's looking at, you know, the diffusion of open access. This is the situation for the last 10 years. So you see that there are several differences around the countries. I think that they are the 15 most productive countries. I also have slides for Hungary after all. And you see that there are 20 points at least of difference between some countries like Brazil and China. But what is most interesting, it's looking at the so-called balance of knowledge flows, looking at how open access is spreading. Here you have the 10,000 top most cited open access documents in Web of Science Core Collection. And for who is very knowledgeable of Web of Science Core Collection knows perfectly why I selected 10,000 papers. And looking at the citing documents of this paper, you see that there is a sort of a Matthew effect. Who is more adopting open access is going even further in, you know, citing always these open access papers. You see the first columns, and then in some cases there is this balance that is, you know, it's quite different. It's negative if you want. Let me also sponsor a bit. Oh, it doesn't work anymore. No. Yeah, let me also sponsor a bit, a paper that I just co-authored with some other Italian guys that's been accepted on Journal Infometrics that is dealing exactly with balance on knowledge flows. So a sort of, you know, analogy within the commercial import and export, looking at the citations, obviously, between the countries. In terms of diffusions, all international collaboration are very much powered by open access. So in open access papers, we reach almost one third of papers have at least one international co-author, whilst the standard is 20% for the normal paper. But another key point was looking at the data and looking if effectively open access was even paving the way to a more broader and general concept of open science. So I look at the integration with data sets, because in Web of Science Core Collection we also have integrated data sets and papers. So if we look at the percentage of paper with a linked data set, apart the, you know, time delay effects, you see immediately that when you have open access papers, they are 4 or 5 times more linked to data sets, to data, than normal papers. And what about funding? This is a strange graph, I should admit, but you can look for one single here. So in 2018, it means that 50% of the papers have a funding acknowledgement, normal papers, whilst on the same year, 60, so 10 points more of open access paper have a funding acknowledgement. And vice versa is that 35% of funded papers, or papers with a funding acknowledgement, are open access. Obviously, I'm referring to something that is pretty much well known to Plan S, to the relations between funding agencies, let's say, and open access. Not all the funding agencies obviously are, you know, that type of funding agencies, but you see right here, which is the breakdown of the different types of open access respect to the last 5 years, and you see that in the awards, this is an awards snapshot, you have the growing number of open access gold DOAJ papers, whilst it's quite stable, the yellow line, that means more or less hybrid, and it's declining, the bronze one. The green one over there is the pure green, so it's exactly papers that are in a repository but are not in the journals. If we do consider total green, sorry, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, so papers that could be in a repository that holds in a journal, because obviously in Web of Science Core Collection now we are also able to map them. There is not any more a priority if you want. You see that the percentage, excluding the last year, that there is a time delay, it's around 60%. So 60% of funded papers are green in general in Web of Science Core Collection. And last, the impact. This not very nice bubbles indeed. It's just. I choose two indicators. I usually use heavy the indicators, so in this case I use an indicator excellence and indicators immediacy. For the excellence, I choose the highly cited papers, that is a measure of the papers that are in the top 1% in their category. So you see that the black line is the average, and when you go on funded OI papers, you are around the average, exactly flat. When you go in the different modes of open access, in different road of open access, you see that the best and preferred choice should be pure green, in which you have much more highly cited paper than in the rest. And this is indeed the next one. It's not anymore working. The next one, it's the indicator of immediacy, if you want. So it's hot paper. Hot paper are highly cited paper that Harvard saw very much cited recently. So if you go recently, you know, the appearance of open access is not so immediate in the systems, and you see that only green is above the average of this type of impact. But let's have a look a bit now on Hungary. By the way, something that I haven't said, all these data are have been retrieved in the last 2 weeks. So the timestamp is definitely November 2018. And all these graphs have all the data behind. So if you need, I can provide you all the data or can obviously support you in retrieving any type of other analysis that you want to do. So Hungary is a bit behind the surrounding countries in terms of adoption, but this is a could be good because indeed it's more, you know, a percentage most close, if you want, to the main European countries in which the adoption rate is exactly around that, not those numbers. And this is the same trend for the adoption in Hungary, but what's more important and how Hungary is going in terms of adoption of the different open access, and you see that it absolutely aligned, if you want, with what is going on in the world. So growing DOIJ, growing gold open access, growing a bit hybrid, declining bronze, and so on and so forth. And this is the situation for Hungarian paper on Hungarian journals. We do cover something like 60 or 59, if I'm not wrong, journals, Hungarian journals in Bible Science Core Collections. And you see that obviously when you look only to Hungarian journals, the percentage are a bit higher. And the same graph tends to be something like a Kandinsky painting, so I would skip it. What is much more interesting, it's looking to who is citing Hungarian OI papers in Hungarian journals. This is slightly different from the slide before, because we cover the top papers of all around the world. Here we are, I'm considering only Hungarian papers published in Hungarian journals and that are open access. So who is citing this? And you see that Hungarian papers are cited by Hungarian people, more or less for one third. But above all, if you look vice versa, it means that two thirds of citation are coming abroad. So it's really expanding the Hungarian research and culture in the world, if you want. But who is doing that? If you look at the different type of open access paper, Hungarian journals, you see that when you publish on a green road, if you want, so in a repository, you are more or less on this average, so one third of citation coming from Hungary. Whilst if you go on hybrid, two thirds of citation are coming from Hungary. So in a way, it's less international, it's less expanding. I lost my mouse. I think that I'm pretty over my time. I'm in Italian, so I beg your pardon since now. This is indeed a snapshot and a slide that you should read by columns. It's, I just took in consideration of the top 10 or some 10 research areas or categories, whatever you want to call, and to see which is, the level and the percentage of Hungarian papers in these different, buckets. So reading for columns, it means that 10% of total records, Hungarian records, are belonging to physics area. So when you do not select anything. But if you look at the open access records, this is the percentage. So when you look at gold open access records, this is the percentage. This means that social science reached the maximum in that particular case. So for instance, in terms of hybrid journals, most of the production of Hungarian papers are in physics, almost one quarter, and so on and so forth. So you can read these slides in this way. But to finish, obviously, I've also had a slide respecting the ranking. I always put the rankings at the end because I know that everyone has this aptitude to look at the ranking. This is a sort of ranking between the six institutions, let's say, not to be said, that are the most productive or the most important, but at least this is the first six one that I found out. And you can read these slides looking at who has the best percentage of open access adoptions. And when you see the label, it means that, that label, it's that institution has the top number. So for number of open access adoption, the peak is reached by Etvos Lorenz University with 35% of papers that are open. In terms of DOJ Gold, it's the second one. Again, it's at Welch-Laurent. In terms of hybrid papers, the highest percentage is coming from Debrecen, bronze from PEX, and green, you see, from Szeged. It's been quite democratic. So we have at least a good position for any university apart from Hungarian that is always on the average of everything. So I think that I have a lot of other slides, but as I said, I don't want to bother you with this. Last slide, it's just, you know, that if you have any other questions, you might refer to me, you might refer to my colleague over there, especially to him, Marco, and Kedzaron to every one of you. Thank you very much. I can reply, what do you think about Sci-Hub?
Yes, this is what Ed did. Thank you very much, Mas. Are there any questions in the room right now? I think we can pick one or two questions coming from Slido. Thank you very much, all those addressing questions on Slido, those voting. Thank you for voting to the poll. I can speak a bit about the audience immediately after Max. And I think we also have questions coming from our viewers on streaming, because this is today the conference is broadcasted. I would pick one of the questions here.
I could pick this.
Or you.
Yeah, the last two ones, even because all the other ones are referring to Libra and so on.
The one by Free and Zwickman, is the percentage of open access by country based on journal location?
No, it's based on the locations of authors, where obviously we don't know the citizenships of the authors, but we know that they are affiliated with Hungarian institutions. So if an author is in Hungarian, whatever his or her citizenship is Hungarian for us, obviously. So. I mean, in all the slides, we do refer to the nationality of the institution in which they are affiliated, obviously. We do not know which is the nationality.
And the last, what do you think about Sci-Hub?
Well, we are not a publishers, obviously, and so
Sci-Hub, it's, I think that it's very controversial.
As it has been built, obviously, it's not legal. There is nothing else to say, even if I'm not a fan of publisher, I might say that it's not legal. And probably first of then,
they will manage to shut it down definitely
because all researchers are using Sci-Hub,
I perfectly know. For you,
so I will close this marketing part. We have just about a few months ago Copernicus. You know, Copernicus is another application, but you're on Reichelt, and Copernicus is a legal way to find a legal PDF if you want. You just install Copernicus, whatever discovery service are you using, even Scopus.
And
that's how, and that's fine.
all the rest are not.
There is another question, which I'm sure is not probably directly addressed to you, but it is addressed also to other speakers today. Maybe you will have a chance just to present Clarivate's perspective on. I will simply read the question, and then you will recognize where it suggests to go into. Why impact or impact factor is not important at all for journals and articles? It's probably related to DORA declaration. What is Clarivate's position on that?
Well, the Clarivate's position, has always been that impact factor has been created in 1975, and since then Eugene Garfield said that this indicator should be used sadly. Should be used wisely, obviously. So it was created to just rank the journals. Any other use of this impact factor, it's not suggested, let's say. Notwithstanding this, I do must admit that there is an issue, and the issue is evaluating recent papers. Why impact factor? But not just talk about impact factor. Any journal metrics is used everywhere in the world to eventually evaluate even people or papers, and not only journal, like they should do. Because we have to evaluate sometime recent papers, very recent papers, which are other possibilities for you all, if you try to think deeply, to evaluate a paper that has been published on December 2017. You don't have enough citations at all, so you cannot go and looking at the citation, the percentage of this article respect to the peer papers. So what you can do is, and good luck for this, refer to our metrics, for looking at tweets, likes, and so on, or make an approximation. And this approximation is saying, well, you have published on Nature, this is already a fact, so you're good enough because you are published on Nature, so because there is a peer review, you know, process and what else. And in general, papers on Nature got this average number of citations. So obviously it's not the best, obviously it's just a proxy, but it's exactly the reason why journal metrics are used when a paper is very recent. So we don't have any other possibility to evaluate it, or apart peer review, obviously. But peer review, it's not any more time and money convenient for anyone in the world, basically. So that's the reason why journal metrics are still used, and there is no other way, basically. This is the short answer.
Thank you, Max.
You're welcome.
Will you join me in giving a round of applause to Max for his presentation? Thank you. Thank you.